Dear friends, thanks for joining me today as we talk about imitation, our imitation, as pleasing to the Lord. Imitation is a solid form of instruction. Have you ever noticed how younger siblings imitate their older brothers or sisters? It's pretty natural. In fact, where did the older ones learn from? Imitating mom and dad. So it gets passed right on down the line, doesn't it? Any preschool teacher or kindergarten teacher spends most of their day modeling a behavior that the kids then try to replicate. But it works all the way up into graduate school. A master, as an artist, will do some technique and then stand back and observe as the class tries to do it. What looks so easy is not quite so easy in the actual accomplishment. It might be something like a drywall mud expert. Have you ever tried to do drywall up a corner? Not an easy thing to do. And so you have a master, and then you have somebody who's learning underneath them. And they watch, and finally they get the feel, get a little bit better at it. And it happens in almost every field. Cooking, we had Linda Herring here this first service. That's how they learn at Kettle Moraine Lutheran, from Linda the cooker. That's part of her curriculum, modeling how to cook and get it right. Maybe it's gardening that you learn from your parents or grandparents. Maybe it's even something as powerful as the athletics and sports, and that's exactly how we show what's to be done, and then, of course, the students apply it. Now, when it comes to imitation in God's family, this is the description that the Apostle Paul provides, that we are living out a pattern. He picked it up, and he's sharing it with the Thessalonians. And he got it from the perfect pattern, the supreme pattern of Jesus. You remember that this was the training that the Apostle Paul, nobody really knows about how deep it went, that he was caught up into the heavens. So he met Jesus face to face, but then he was also trained by Jesus. And so this was the pattern to follow. Imitate what I have said. Not for salvation, not to get attention, not to have a reward, that when you get the behavior right, then you've been promoted to another level, but rather because the Lord Jesus was the only one that could accomplish it. And when you see him, then you understand how God intended it to be. Our imitation pleasing to the Lord. You know, it's been said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good people do nothing. So I want to talk a little bit about a blurry copy and a clear copy, a crisp one. Let's go to the blurry copy first. How not to copy or imitate what Jesus has done. There's a couple things we're going to look at. Paul says here, we did not make this appeal from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God and trusted with the gospel. There is no self-serving here and really that's the way it's supposed to be in ministry. It's not a self-serving enterprise. It's not something you would call like a normal entrepreneur American business. It isn't to make a profit, is it? Ministry is to care for people. So the first thing that happens is that people want attention. So they look for some kind of positive praise from people. There you go. We become a burden actually in ministry or to other Christians when we have to be the center of attention, when we have to attract it to ourselves. Now some people have that a little bit more by nature. You know, it's kind of the way we are. Some people need to get actively involved. They might be leaders. But in the body of Christ, the goal is to give attention to the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul will say it this way in Galatians, am I not trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And in Joshua, as they were about to enter the Holy Land, he said, I don't know what you're going to do, but these worldly idols are out there. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that model did take them into the promised land. So the first thing is not to look for attention. The second thing is that people seem to be attracted to a personal position. It's almost as the higher you go, the more you get to drive it and control it and get things your way. But that's not the kind of leadership that Christ displayed. He didn't get his way. He came to give up his way in order to take the position of the lowliest and in order to serve. We call it servant leadership when he says the first shall be last and the last first, that a person goes into that position of humility and even takes a certain amount of extra on themselves so that they can accomplish what is good for others. Third thing you could do and have a blurry copy is serve less and need more. You've heard of it when somebody says, she's needy. Well, when you grow up with a culture that's not used to waiting too long, it can get to be kind of a patience thing. But there is such a person that is very needy. And you'll come in and there's a task, and instead of the task being just they're part of it, you can see them off in the corner. They're the ones that are attracting attention. They're using their position or their place to kind of control things, and then of course they do less than others. Have you ever heard of the Peter principle, where the owner of the company went down and started in the ranks in disguise to try to figure out what was wrong with his organization? And he said, every time I failed, I was promoted. Every time I didn't do what I really wanted them to do, I actually found that people liked me better. And he said it was kind of a mixed up review by the time he got done. The reality is that we should be the ones who are asking, what can I do? How can I help? The fourth thing is to live an inconsistent life. This kind of shows up then, you know, where Jesus is perfectly consistent in his humility, in his service, in his otherness, we end up being kind of me first, sometimes unconsciously, me first in our practices. So we may bound back and forth and we'll give an inconsistent message. Especially children will be looking for parents that role model the same thing over and over and over again. Now, what we're looking for in this is the habits that come from pure motives. I do what I do because I desire what he wants. You remember 1 Corinthians 13? This is the pure motive. Remember how he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then as he builds the case, he says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So where does our endurance come from? It's inspired by the love of Christ and the hope that that gets into our system, into our hearts. Paul is going to set a priority of mission. That's what we preached on last week. That our mission is to carry out faith, hope, and love in our lives to the world. And then he also doubles up and he says, keep the gospel pure. The integrity of the gospel. Don't get in its way by being a blurry copy. And that's sometimes what happens as we go out into the world. We see that it's pretty easy to jump in and give a dual testimony. One that is exactly like Christ and then one that's not much like him at all. You know, the world is imitating a completely different model. In the last 24, well, it'd be on Thursday afternoon, I read an article about Belgium doctors, the country of Belgium. They did an interview of the doctors to find out what they would practice. if a child was born handicapped, would they be comfortable dispatching that child after birth? In other words, putting them to sleep because they were handicapped. Do you know what the statistic was? 93% of the Belgium doctors, OBGYN, were willing to do that, to put a child, and you say, what kind of practices are we up against in today's world? And then I read an article about a social worker who had gotten out of the business. She said, originally, social work was about caring for other people by getting into their position and giving them opportunities, opening doors for them, helping them. And then she said, now self takes center stage. A social worker, if they want to keep their job and climb the ranks, needs to support all aspects of the platform, which include euthanasia, alternative lifestyles, partial birth abortions, and eliminate all references to God, whether they believe that or not. She basically said, I started this profession and there was some balance, and now you can't even be, I think what she's saying, a Christian and be a social worker. Now, that's up to each person's conscience. Do you see how blurry the copy is out there in the world? You can't tell sometimes, is this right or wrong? And that's because people have discluded the Word of God as the authority by which we decide how we're going to live. Now, let's flip this all over and look at it from the positive side. A clear copy as we please our Savior. He says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. So how do we praise God? It begins with relationship. Relationship with God, the vertical, especially to give glory to God, not seeking the attention for ourselves. And it's there that the witness comes out very clear. He's going to use the analogy of mothers and fathers. There's nothing like a mother's love. In fact, mothers, you don't even ask for it, but you get it. When the baby starts coming into your life and world, they take over, don't they? First, it's on the inside, and the whole system is kind of whatever the baby needs. And then they're born, and it goes on. So you actually become captive physically to that child, and you're willing to do that? Of course, because that's how the child comes into the world. That's what's best for them, the best interests, that you give up so much to be able to give them a good start. Do you see what he's saying? To be gentle like a mother caring for her child, because that's the other love, the unconditional love that impresses us about God. Then secondly, to exalt the Son of God. In fact, when he says this, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Here's where the testimony of the church should just radiate, is that Christ is real. He has so affected the way we think and act that we are capable of loving even under difficult circumstances. And this is how we exalt him. It's not about our position, but his. Remember how he came down and was humiliated, lowered down to the lowest place, that he would then be raised up. And so Paul will say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And then thirdly, that he says that we should serve more, need less. What that means is basically when we have opportunity that we should look for things to do that will make an impact on another person's life. Now, I can be corporately within the church. That could be taking care of and helping us clean and move chairs. Now, this week we made a decision we're going to actually move Thursday services back into the church because it's so much work to set up and take down, and school is starting Wednesday. So, but we need volunteers to help take the chair. That's only one little way. Think of all the different ways in which you can give an exhibit of the love of Christ. It might just by being nice to someone in the grocery store. It might be by being helpful, kind, and compassionate. And then finally, we lead to encourage godly living. He says, you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This is the imitation, not one that is earned or achieved by high performance, but rather one that is given. The imitation is a gift of the Holy Spirit, because in the kingdom of God, things are almost upside down from the world. It's the person that goes lower that is actually reviewed higher. As Jesus said, you put yourself into the position of taking care of someone else as you are able, and this, by your leadership and role model, gives glory to God. I know that there will be different circumstances for every life that's here today, and different talents and abilities, but the motive, the pure motive, is the love of God in Christ. Nobody says it better than God himself. He says, the ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. And so, Paul modeled a clear sense of love and commitment to those that he was serving and the goal towards which he was working, that they might know the love of God in Christ and be secure in the joy and confidence of eternal life. I'm going to close with a couple of truth statements, and it's about character. Because what happens in a Christian heart is that we no longer elevate the self, but we rather want to elevate Christ. And here's kind of a building statement. The highest reward for a person's toil is not what he or she gets for it, but rather what he or she becomes by it. You see, that it's not that blurry copy we're trying to achieve for our own, but rather the clear copy given by God. Character is property. It is the noblest of professions. And that actually is very parallel with what Proverbs says, is get wisdom at all costs. And then, if anyone speaks evil of you, live in such a way that no one will believe it. There you have a Joseph who was thrown into prison and he was wrongly accused, but yet it was proof that he was going to be elevated on his character. And finally, goodness is the only investment that never fails. And I'll take that because in the book of Galatians chapter 5, it says these are the fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, joy, and it includes goodness. But maybe that statement could be altered a little bit. Faith in Christ is an investment that never fails. Or let's even be consistent with 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. So we are not going to fail this generation either, because Christ has come. He has accomplished everything we need, and we are following him. Our imitation will never be perfect, but it will be pleasing to the Lord because it comes from faith, and it is motivated by his love. And that is worth saying amen to. Do you remember Pastor Cuck? He used to say, amen.